Good morning, camper.
Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
John O. Wilson.
Everybody. I'm back.
You are so back.
I was just wondering, do you count how long you say good for? Because it looks like you were looking at the mic. I don't know if you're looking at the volume or if you're looking at it's got to go 7 seconds.
I look at this thing because sometimes it says right error. Uh-huh. And that means it's not recording.
Oh.
And then it goes away, but it didn't have it up on there this time. But okay. I think my record is maybe 15 seconds.
Wow.
I think.
That's one of those things where it's like you don't think the 15 seconds is a long time, but then if you have to do like an ab workout for 15 seconds,
yeah, seriously,
you realize how long it is.
And I could submit that to the Guinness Book of World Records, I think.
I think so. I don't think anyone said good that long.
So we're going to do it differently here. The NBA play-in starts tonight.
Oh, baby.
Usually it's a movie.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
Switch it up.
All right.
We're here in our golf pants.
We're in our golf pants. I haven't watched one NBA game this season.
I only watch maybe like 10 all year because I do like the playoffs.
Okay.
But but we were just talking about the dark side of children's TV.
Yikes.
That documentary is...
it's everywhere. Everyone's talking about it.
Wait, what is it called? The Dark?
It's called...
Wait, what is it called? Quiet on the Set.
Quiet on
Set. Right.
Quiet on Set.
It was intense. The guy from the head of the class, that the Dan Schneider guy.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't even know that guy. I thought he died. I thought he died during like COVID.
I thought he was locked up. I thought I heard rumblings about him being a bad dude and then didn't realize that like he kind of was off scot-free like before this came out, right? And now he's in jail.
Is he? Jail? No, I think he's like pitching shows now. I'm pretty sure.
But I just heard that was it confirmed? I don't want to, you know, spread rumors or anything, but was it confirmed that Amanda Bynes had an
I mean, I saw that. But you know what? I saw that on one of those websites that's like, it's like, do you know when you're on a website and they click on something, it's like, you'll never believe where the cast of...
Yeah, Gilligan's Island. It gets you every time.
It's like, oh yeah, where's the cast of Gilligan's Island?
Actors who look you won't believe what these actors look like now.
And the page usually takes a long time to load, but I think I saw it on just like a real shady.
He's stuck with it. Yeah. I don't care how long this takes to load. I gotta see what slide 28 is.
Yeah, it's always a slide. Or it's always photos taken moments before disaster.
Yeah, oh my God.
The internet is so fucking bizarre.
It's bizarre.
I didn't see it on like Deadline Hollywood. I saw it on a really just shady webpage.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
I think I heard that, and not on the internet, through someone, I forget who, that she came out and said it.
Oh, okay, got it.
But... then again, you're talking about things you can't believe on the internet. Like, I was telling so many people, I was like, did you hear what Brooks Koepka said this weekend about Wyndham Clark? Did you hear that?
Oh, no.
So I was like, I saw this, I think I saw an interview, and Wyndham Clark was saying, well, these live guys only play 36 holes, so I'm not that worried. And Brooks's response was, well, it looks like Wyndham Clark only played 36 holes this week, so...
ouch.
That's the dumbest thing he's ever said. Or it's like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard next to his name, Wyndham Clark.
Jesus.
And then my buddy...
his mom just died.
But my buddy just said to me, that was a fake account. It was a joke. But it was a picture of Brooks and then a fake quote under it. And I was like, I totally believe that he said this.
I mean, he's such a dick.
Totally.
See, that's the thing. You can just make that. You can just run an Instagram page and make that slide.
Yeah, and the Twitter account was a verified account.
Oh, really?
Yeah, called like The Tour or something like that.
Oh, damn.
So if you're not doing your due diligence, you're going to be spreading some...
seriously, those golfers, do you watch Full Swing?
Yeah.
Those guys, they just seem like... I like that documentary, but I'd prefer to just watch them play golf.
I agree.
They're the least interesting people I've ever seen in my life, but they're like robots, but you have to be
totally
to be good at golf.
Totally.
To be that good at golf.
Like me.
You're great at golf, but you're not a robot.
That's why I'm not that great.
But you are very good.
I try. I played terribly the other day. I will say this might be an unpopular opinion, and I know we're watching basketball right now, but Full Swing really made me not be a fan of Justin Thomas.
Yeah, no, yeah, me neither.
This is my take on Justin
Thomas.
Well,
they all just seem like real tough hangs.
Totally. And Justin Thomas wants more than anything to be a bro.
Yeah,
so
right,
he like
right.
chugs beers, but badly. And right. like jacks people, like tries to jack up the crowd, and everyone's kind of like, yeah, we're excited enough. We don't need you. Right. And in reality, he's just a goddamn geek. He's a dweeb who just has seen someone. He's like seen examples of bros on television and then tries to emulate that. And it just doesn't work.
Well, there's that in the new season when he's at his house and he's wearing jeans. I'm like, this doesn't look right.
No, guy doesn't wear jeans.
Look at that, professional golfers wearing jeans. No. I'm like, this is off.
He wears pleated khakis.
Well, I think because it's Justin Thomas, which is, it couldn't be any more ordinary of a name.
Totally.
And I think the fact that people call him JT went to his head. He's like, oh, all right, I'm an
initials guy now. I guess I'm pretty sweet.
But documentary just doesn't make being a professional golfer that desirable. And it always seemed super desirable.
Well, I when I lived in DC, I played with this guy who was a great golfer, and he played at Vanderbilt. And when I would play with him, he was amazing. And I was like, did you ever think about going pro? Cause he played golf there. And he was like, I don't love the game enough. And I was like, but we play like every weekend. And he was like, yeah, but when you have a putt that's like 7 feet long, and if you miss it, you lose $20,000. It's not that fun.
And on national TV.
On national TV, everybody's watching, you know?
Well, it reminded me of like stand up a little bit. Mm. If you're not doing it every night, forget about it.
I
was like, I don't love this enough to do it every night.
And do it badly many nights.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Yeah.
So playing golf, like you wake up, you know, have a shake.
Yeah.
Go to the range, which in the range is so fucking boring, but you got to be there for what, like 2 hours with your swing coach?
At least.
3 hours?
At least. These guys are playing full rounds and then going to the range for like 3 hours after that.
Right, exactly.
No thanks.
Like no time. I it would suck.
It would suck.
And it's like, well, flying private, but I don't care.
No, you're stressed about the putt you had 2 weeks ago.
For sure. But you're probably in very comfortable golf pants.
Yeah, always comfortable.
It's still hard, but the clothes have gotten more comfortable.
You got more comfortable and more accepted in social situations.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of tight pants.
Yeah.
Until I got these.
Well, they're stretchy. They're stretchy. It was funny. I like did a costume fitting. And they like tried on some, they like had me put on some sneakers, and I tried them on and I started like running in place. And the costume designer was like, guys are so ridiculous. Anytime you put on sneakers or you put on like stretchy pants, she was like, every time someone puts on stretchy pants, and I was like, they do this. And I just like lifted up my leg, and she was like, exactly. They like want to try them out. We're all little boys at heart.
Well, you know, when I tried these on, I came out and I was doing the high, like soldier boy.
Exactly.
High step. They were so, these things are
squatting
so
down and being like, whoa, they're still in the same place. This is amazing.
No, the golf's gotten more. I think it's because of Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
It's like, why do we have to wear like those cotton Lacoste shirts from the 80s? Those that like just keep the moisture in.
One drip of sweat and it's there for the rest of the day.
Right. And like I love some of the clothes those golfers wore in the 80s, but like looking back on a hot day, it's just like cotton shirt.
That's when golf was even worse than now. Being a pro golfer was even worse.
But I mean, like golf just always seemed like such an old, even though I've played my whole life, it was always like so stodgy and old.
Totally.
And now, I mean, it's really gone young, but
yeah.
I'm kind of tired of the whole like live debate.
Me too. I'm over it.
Okay,
if like, you watch it, cares? You watch it. I don't care. I do not care.
But it looks like it's on Nickelodeon. Like
yeah, it does.
The graphics.
Isn't it on like the CW?
I think so.
They have crazy graphics and they like want to the audience or the crowd to like be like they're at a Happy Gilmore tournament.
Seriously. Know? It's like, really bizarre for as much money as they have.
You think
that they could like just start their own channel.
Totally. Don't worry about the PGA.
I've yet to watch a live event, and I think the one that I did watch, I'm like, this stinks. Aren't there only like 12 golfers on it?
And there are a bunch of guys that you're like, this guy's making millions and millions of dollars. I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, seriously.
Brooks Koepka's brother is on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's his name? Jeff Koepka?
I don't know, but Jeff is a funny name in my opinion. I like Jeff.
Well, what spelling? J-E-F-F or G-E-O-F-F?
They're both totally different. I think Jeff, like, and I don't know why this is, but I feel like if you had like a stepfather that you didn't get along with and his name was Jeff, that would make sense to me. Come home and Jeff's always on the couch drinking Miller Lite, you know? Yeah,
Jeff is a very stepfather name.
Yeah.
I always had a thing where like, I never really wanted to like date a married woman who had kids. Cause then I'm like, Phil.
See, in that context, Phil works too. It's like, right. Hey mom. Hi, Phil.
I just don't know if I'd want to be a stepdad. I don't know.
That's not an easy thing to do.
Not really.
No,
not at all. I mean, being a parent's hard enough. Throwing a step in front of that.
Not that either of us know, but you know,
it looks hard.
Yeah, it looks very hard.
But was step by step? Who was? They were both. That's it. They both had other families.
Yeah, it was like the new Brady Bunch.
That's right. The show was great.
It was great. It was TGIF.
It was so good. But like that. Okay, so because you've worked on the Disney Channel,
I sure have.
And if there's anything you need to, you know, if you felt, you know, uncomfortable at any point on set, you can. This is a safe space.
No, I didn't. But I will say this, and I may have actually said this on Camp Good Boy before, but they do need to look after their kids more, I think. Because there was a situation where I was doing an Irish jig in an episode.
Yeah, and a great Irish jig.
Yeah. And after we shot the take, two of the kids, one of them played my son, were like, oh, that was so funny. Do it again. And so I was doing it again, and I tripped, and I fell on the kid who played my son. And he was teeny, and he fell hard to the ground, and the first thing I heard was, someone get the medic. Jono needs help. Someone help Jono.
Oh, just for, yeah.
For me. Right, I was like, what about
that's right. You did tell that, yeah.
What about the tiny child?
Yeah, well, I mean, going back,
was taken care of. I'm obviously joking, but yeah.
But that guy, I say this with, that documentary was dark. The dude, the sleazy producer from Head of the Class, that guy Dan Schneider,
yeah,
definitely a fucking shitty dude.
Yeah,
I thought like when you're watching, you're like, when I'm watching it, because the first like two or three episodes are mostly about him.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, kind of a scummy producer. That's kind of par for the course for Hollywood. But then when they get into the other guy, it completely shifted the documentary for me, because I'm like, well, this Dan Schneider guy is just a dick.
Right.
Now, maybe he does inappropriate fucking humor for kids, but like,
mean to women and stuff.
So there's that. But like, compared to the other dude, that was,
he came out looking great.
I mean, a little bit.
He's like, I may be bad, but I'm not the worst.
Far from it.
Yeah.
Far from it.
Yeah.
That other dude was just a savage, but like, Schneider
the
was
the fact that they go in, the kid finds the letters from John Wayne Gacy in the picture. I'm like, that's
a tough look.
That's one of those things where it's like, I feel like if you were experiencing it in real time as one of those parents, you would be like, this is wrong. Mm. But you'd still be like, I'm sure there's an explanation. I think someone said it in the documentary where it's like, you are always erring on the side of like, well, this person isn't really that bad. I'm just being overly sensitive.
No,
listen to your gut.
Yeah, but then girls can go and be attracted to Ted Bundy, and that's cool.
Yeah, is that cool?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't really see it. I don't see the I see it with Richard Ramirez. Because he's got like a punk rock aesthetic.
Sure.
Even though that dude is like the darkest of them all. The Ted Bundy, he seems creepier to me than Ramirez and Dahmer.
I agree.
Dahmer is like, oh, okay, I get it. I see it.
He looks like a Midwestern guy. Yeah. Probably goes to church.
There's a hunky element to him.
Yeah, he's got good shoulders.
Ted Bundy just looks like a fucking like chemistry teacher that's like, oh, I got fucking Professor Bundy next.
Damn it. There's something about that guy that creeps me out.
but Schneider just came out like it shifted when they got into, I don't even know what the other dude's name is. I tried to forget about it.
Yeah,
it was just like so grim.
Oh god.
But like it's weird to watch that, because what I loved in the 90s Nickelodeon was how like subversive it kind of was, it like late at night, like SNCC.
Me too.
That was a great show.
All that was great. I loved Pete and Pete.
Yeah.
And it was so weird.
It was very weird.
It was so weird.
Watching that and watching these kids like, as adults, like cry about their trauma, I'm like, come on. I mean, okay, I don't want to speak for anybody. If you felt uncomfortable, I get it. But like, That shit was fucking, those shows were great.
They were great. Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh my dude, don't get me started.
Dude. The thing about that even as like a little kid, I remember being like, this is edgy because so many of them had bad endings.
Like, yeah, I mean, I can't remember what the episodes were.
So few had like pot, like, oh, it's all okay. Like it was like some kid would go into a magic shop and find a crystal ball, and then he was being followed by shadow people, and it ended with him getting like sucked into the shadow people world, and that was the end.
And then Ren and Stimpy's on.
And then Ren and Stimpy. Yeah,
right. I got to go back and I'm surprised those aren't on like Netflix or Hulu or something.
There's got to be somewhere that they're on because I would really like to rewatch.
Do they have Nickelodeon Plus yet? So I feel like that's right around the corner.
They're gonna cash in on what they made from this documentary.
So it was weird to see them like, it's like, man, you had a pretty fucking cool childhood. I don't know. Again, like, I don't want to, if they,
well, I think that the other thing is like,
I get it, but
I think the other thing is like, they weren't paid enough to like set them up for life. They got like 3 years and probably made like $5,000 an episode. And then they were just cast out in the street. And that's like best case scenario.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. True.
Worst case is you're linked up with that creep who is going to give you
truly worst case. all the people that said that like the Schneider guy was weird and like we had to do weird sexual jokes, like totally get it. But
yeah, those, some of those jokes were so weird too.
When they're when is it Drake Bell?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When he's talking, it's just like, dude, the other people that are complaining, like, what do you have to complain about? You told a dirty joke.
Yeah.
It's better than being raped.
Yeah, totally.
Way better.
Way better.
No, I mean that poor dude, poor guy. Fuck. But no, anyway, that was a good documentary.
It was a good documentary. It was good. But I even like found that, you know, I'd watch like one or two episodes a night, and then like, I don't remember what my nightmares were, but I was definitely having stress dreams.
Okay.
It was not putting me in a good, like, I need to watch a couple episodes of Seinfeld before I go to sleep after that.
Yeah, no, you know? that helps significantly.
Mm-hmm. Significantly.
Well, Seinfeld's on, it's insane how much it's on now.
Oh,
it's
my
on
God.
More than ever because it's on Comedy Central and they run it to death.
To death, but also it's on Netflix, and if you don't have any commercials, like the episodes are like 15 minutes long.
Right. I'm not into it. I like the commercials.
Oh, you do?
I'm a big fan of Seinfeld with commercials.
So does Annalisa. She likes commercials. I always like fast forward through them if we're watching something on DVR and she's like, you can let them play.
I mean, I see. I don't like them when it's on, like, if something's on Hulu or like Peacock. I'm like, God damn it. When it's on, like, my Fox 11, I'm cool with it.
Yeah. No, that same thing. Like, we'll DVR something on YouTube TV and she'll just watch it straight through. I'm like, the point of DVRing it is so you can fast forward these commercials. Unless I'm on a commercial running right now, we're fast forwarding the commercials.
Maybe it's because the only time I don't like commercials is during sporting events.
Yeah.
Because they play the fucking most annoying commercials.
And they're the same ones over and over and over. Seriously. Again.
The ones during Seinfeld at late at night are usually, I don't know. I don't even know what they are. But they're not as annoying as like March Madness commercials.
Yes. They give you a little respite for you to digest what you just watched.
They do.
Get ready for the next part.
Yep.
You know?
But that Seinfeld baseline coming in from a commercial, forget about it.
I also like, you know, I sometimes fall asleep to the TV, and if it is Seinfeld, it's very hard to fall asleep because they'll be talking for a little bit and you're starting to doze and it's you're back up.
When I do nap, I nap with Seinfeld at like, I got the volume on like 2 bars.
Yeah.
Faintly, it's very soothing.
Sure.
Speaking of commercials, when are we going to see you? It's been a while since you popped up on my TV.
It's very true. I actually, so I had that AT&T commercial that ran a ton.
Oh yeah.
And then my agent was like, I basically said to them, like, why am I not getting any auditions? I'm on this thing that's running all the time. Mm-hmm. And they just weren't getting me auditions. So I fired them.
Oh, there you go.
And, I really live by that. I don't know what it is, but I'm not scared to say, you know what? I'd rather not even have an agent because you're not doing anything.
Did you phone call or email?
Phone.
Okay. Got it.
I've been with them for a while. They did like take me on when I had done literally nothing.
Right.
So I felt like a phone call was the respectful way to go.
Right.
However, fast forward about 2 years and I just signed with a new commercial agent.
Hey, so there we go.
We'll see.
All right. There we go.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. The getting rid of reps, it's, I've never actually done it. Actually, no, I did it once and just, because, but we were only with her for like, we had a manager who kind of just left the industry and it was sort of like, we went with someone that we knew at the same company.
Yeah.
And then when we left her, we were only with her for like 6 months.
Yeah. You're also like, you don't know us. You don't really care as much as the last person did. Like,
so that was just an email.
Yeah. That's fine.
But it's, but at the same time, like, I feel like an email is still okay, especially in this industry where just like these people are so soulless, like they don't even really get like
totally
to think about their feelings because they don't really think about yours.
Yes. However, that's difficult when you're a creative person and all you're doing is putting your feelings on the line all the time.
Yes, seriously.
So you're like, if I was treated like this, I'd feel bad. So I'm going to call them and they're like, well, okay, whatever. Good luck.
Well,
you're screwed.
First of all, it's hard to get them on the phone, even if something's like really important.
For sure.
Getting them on the phone to let them go is probably it's even more awkward.
Yes. Now let me at this point give a shout out to my manager because she's very, we talk all the time. Mm. She's very like, responsive. She will call me. I literally like texted her on my way over here and I was like, can you give me a call? She called me right away. We had a nice chat.
It's a good manager.
Yeah. She's fantastic.
That's what you want.
Then again, she only has 11 clients. So
that's even more what you want.
Yeah. It's great.
That's even better.
Yeah.
It's when you're with some of these people who have like a fucking huge roster, like
totally.
Even at these big agencies, it's especially as a writer, you can get lost in the shuffle. Like,
oh,
and so quickly.
Totally.
So yeah, the small companies are usually the better way to go.
Especially manager, I feel like they're more.
It's more personal.
It's more personal. She like cares. Like we had a chat last week and talked about my feelings.
You know what
I mean? Yeah. Like I was like, I'm just really frustrated, and she like just said all the right things and made me feel better. And you know,
signed.
Yeah.
Have you been auditioning a lot?
Not that much.
You're fucking killing it on social media. I can say that.
I'm trying my best, man.
God damn that hat backwards on the golf. It's so true because I did it recently. Because I'm the older I get, I'm not as hat backwards as I was in like the eighth grade.
Sure.
But when it's windy on a golf course, you have no choice.
No,
you have to do it.
And it's the only time you see pros do it too. It's like really windy, right. And all of a sudden you see a pro with their hat backwards, and you're like, "Whoa, this dude's confidence just skyrocketed." What's going on?
You feel way more confident.
Totally.
You got the nice pants on.
Yeah,
throwing that hat backwards. Where was that? It was at Oak Quarry. Have you ever played that course?
No. Oh yes, I have. Yes,
it's a great
I have.
Course.
It's a tough course.
It's very especially with 50 mile an hour.
Oh gusts. My God.
It was
yeah.
brutal.
Yeah.
But like that, there's just such a, you just nailed exactly just what it's like to have your hat backwards on a golf course. It's such a, I guess it's such a vibe.
Thank you.
It really, really is.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to. I mean, this industry is so difficult and it's so like, hurry up and wait, like everybody says, or you feel like you should be getting opportunities that you don't ever even sniff.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, if I have an idea of something, I can just kind of put it out there. And it almost like brings me back to like, you know, growing up, my friends and I would just get my dad's camcorder and film each other doing stuff and then watch it back at the end of the night. And that was like such a fun night. So
right. It really was.
If you can do that and like have fun doing it, like that's like the purest form
right.
of this stuff.
When, how often do you film something and then you watch and you're like, that's not going on?
Rarely ever.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Cause
I mean, well, why not?
Why not?
There's bad Seinfeld episodes.
100%. Like just throw it out there. I like posted something like last week and I was like, this is so basic and stupid, but mm-hmm. I just felt like kind of silly doing it. Just like partying when you're 40 or whatever.
I'm trying to think if I saw that one.
And it's just me like waking up and talking about what a wild night it was, but it's so tame and I'm drinking Pinot Grigio and like eating Mediterranean food and doing karaoke and like, it's like nothing, but that's how I felt the next morning.
Those hangovers at 40.
Ugh. Boy, oh boy.
Who?
Boy, oh boy.
Hey.
And I'm like, 39. So I can only imagine how bad it's going to get. Well, next
I'll be 40.
Year.
I'll be 42 in a month.
Hey, happy birthday.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
42. But no, I mean, it is like, it's savage.
It's savage. I feel like I started feeling it honestly when I was like 33. I feel like 33 in my mind. I remember being 33 and being like, oh, this is different.
Yeah. No, one day it just hits.
Yep.
One day it like totally hits. Like,
I need to plan my party weekends now. Like I need to know at least a week and a half in advance that I'm going to have a night.
Yeah. Right.
And like prep mentally for it.
No, I hear you. And like prep that next day.
Yes.
But no, but at the same time, I'll take these hangovers in my 40s versus the hangovers in my, when I was like 25 and broke.
Yeah.
A little weird.
A little weird.
Because I didn't know, like, when you get into your 20s, I was like, what is this weird, like, is this anxiety?
Yeah.
You feel it and you're like, you think you're having a heart attack.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, what is this? And I think I was talking to Brandon one time when I was in New York and he was out here. And I was like, yeah, like, I had this, like, weird, like, anxiety with my hangover. He's like, well, do you have a job? And I didn't have a job at the time. I literally moved to New York City thinking I was the only person trying to be an actor.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
And then when I started stand-up comedy, I was like, yeah, I'm the only person trying to do this.
Yeah.
And then you start doing it, it's like, oh no, this whole city's trying.
Everyone
to.
Everyone is trying to
do it. And I might
want
to get a part-time
it.
Job.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to get that part on How I Met Your Mother.
I know. I know. When I moved out here, I was like, well, it'll take a little while, but I'll give myself 3 years. And if I'm not a star in 3 years, then I'll, you know, reevaluate. Mm-hmm. And then like after a year and a half, I was like, it's going to take a lot longer than that.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my God.
I never really had the reevaluate.
Once I like came out here and I was like, all right, I'm definitely capable. I'm seeing other people in acting class and I'm like, well, I'm better than that.
Right.
Like once I realized that there were other people out here that were going for it and even getting jobs and weren't what I thought had what it took to like get the jobs they were getting, I was like, all right, I'm going to stick it out.
Right, right, right. No, that's true. Wait, when did you move out here?
2011.
Okay, got it.
13 years.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
It's been a good ride.
Sure has.
But and this weather.
Hey, talk about, hey, you may be going through a lot of bad stuff, but let me tell you something. This weather is something else.
But it was like 45 the other day.
Yeah, I know. And it's been really rainy.
LA's off its meds.
I don't know how many times I've said it, and I'm embarrassed to even say this, but I've said so often, like, I didn't move here for this.
Oh my God. No, for 100%.
Like 62 degrees. I'm like, how dare they?
It's such like a stock adult joke that I usually tell people that I only know them because walking her on Larchmont.
Yeah.
It's the only way I know these people. Just immediately you can always pivot to the weather.
Yep. Yep.
And that's another thing where you hit an age where all of a sudden you start talking about the weather. I think that might have been like 38 for me.
I think that's pretty much spot on. It's like we get a little more tired and we don't look for good conversations to have anymore. And we're just like, the fucking weather, I guess we'll go with.
Well, yeah, speaking of good conversations, one thing that I never like at a party is, and it's weird, I haven't been to like a party in a while. I don't know if you guys go to parties, like a house party.
House party. No, not like a party that like you're going there for the duration of your time.
Yeah, like you're in an apartment or a house and there's like 30 people there, 20 to 30 people. It's been a really long time.
Well, I guess I actually went to one, but it was like in the backyard.
Okay.
And yeah, and it was, I gotta tell you, it was pretty fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good conversation.
And I'll tell you what, one of the conversations... about the documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the talk of the town.
It's literally
the talk of the town.
It is.
Like, it really, really is.
Yeah.
But, and it's crazy because that Nickelodeon, it's right up the street from me here.
Yeah.
Because they go, that's another thing. So it was that documentary. And then did you watch Death by Fame?
No.
It's on, I think it's on Max.
Ooh.
And it's so dark. So dark. It's about these not child actors. One is about... this child actor, he was on Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
And he was so unhappy on Sons of Anarchy that he asked to be like killed off.
Whoa.
But then he murdered like two people.
Holy shit.
And then he died. It was just up in fucking Franklin Village.
Oh my God.
And like you're you're like watching this documentary and you see like the aerial shots of like Hollywood and Franklin Village. I'm just like,
Are they watching
a quarter of a mile away from me? Yeah. Like, it's just like eerie. That's like all this is like, aside from all the other crimes that happened in this city. Like these ones are fucking, it's dark. It's a dark documentary.
I went to a party like maybe a year ago and it was like at this big mansion and it was really cool kind of. And, the whole selling point of where we were wasn't that there was like a massive pool out back and it had a view of the city. It was that they were like, this was built on the land that Sharon Tate died on. And I was like, Oh,
so that was up in, what is that? Coldwater Canyon?
Yeah. Yeah. Near Cello Drive.
That house is tore down.
Yeah.
And the party was at that house,
I believe.
God, yeah, that's tough energy.
I know.
It's bad. There's a lot of bad energy out here. There was another, it's like that show, The Idol. Did you watch that one with The Weeknd?
I tried watching the first episode and I couldn't get through
Pretty bad.
It was bad.
But even that was giving me like the weirds one night because I was just like, oh, like this shit happens in this city.
Totally. I mean, the other thing that's like weird to me is like this Nickelodeon documentary comes out and everybody's talking about it and like, you know, the stuff Dan Schneider did on that set is happening literally right now as we're talking on some other set.
But for sure.
They have the power at whatever company it is, and no one's going to say anything.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, Alec Baldwin shot someone.
And what's he up to right now? Is he having dinner with his family happily?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
He totally shot someone.
Yeah.
Wait, and there's some other woman.
Not
is
just
going
shot,
to
but killed. Killed. Someone.
Yes, right, exactly. That guy.
It wasn't voluntary. He didn't mean to do it, but...
I'd still be a fucking train wreck.
100%.
I would just be like a total wreck.
And then they went back and finished the movie.
Well, and they didn't... He didn't have more scenes he had to film, did he?
I don't know. I don't know that. But they finished the goddamn movie. Like... What?
Who's watching that movie?
I don't know.
Because, like, The Dark Knight had, like, a dark cloud over it. But, like, you still watching. It was still great.
Right.
Let's watch Rust, hon.
I know.
You want to watch?
What are the new releases this week?
Hey, let's open a bottle of wine and watch Rust.
Rust. Oh, why do I know this movie? There's been talk about it.
And there's going to be a scene where you're going to see how Alec Baldwin with the gun and be like, wait, is this the scene?
Is this the scene where he shoots just off camera left?
It's because didn't that guy Brandon Lee die on The Crow?
Yes.
But that scene, I don't know if it was like in the movie. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I don't
that
know
was
that.
Fucked up too.
Seriously.
Heesh.
Yeah, this industry is dark.
It's like The Idol and then that documentary Death by Fame and then the documentary Quiet on the Set. It's like, God, these are things that happen like right up the street from me.
Yeah. And and the other thing is like they're probably, again, like close to happening way more often than you're hearing. Like,
for sure.
These documentaries are made because this was like a crazy, crazy situation. And it actually happened. Mm-hmm. And then they have to do all this prep work and everything just to make the documentary about it. They're not doing it about every single instance that this happens, you know?
Right, right. Which is goes back to my point where it's just like, if you're getting rid of like a rep or if you're moving on from anything, I don't think you necessarily owe anybody a courtesy. It's like, what industry are we talking about? The most sociopathic.
Totally. Unemotional.
I think you're going to get an email.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but you know, different strokes.
Again,
but speaking of,
shout out to my manager.
But because speaking of like parties and documentaries have been great. Parties have been great for documentaries and podcasts. I feel like that's all anyone talks about at parties.
Oh,
now.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, really. I like think to myself, like, what do you talk about with people?
I just talk about movies.
Yeah.
Like literally, like if I'm at a party, that's why there's another point I was going to make when I have been at a party and I always hear people either like having a really like heart to heart.
Yeah.
Or like one of those guys where you're just like, yeah, we had a long talk at the party. I'm just like, fuck that. That sounds like an awful way to enjoy this party. Yeah. I'm just going to go talk about like 1997's breakdown.
So yeah. We talked about that on a past episode. Oh, yeah.
All I do is talk about movies. That's like all I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Or like music, but mostly just movies.
Yeah.
Or just random shit. Every time I hear somebody like having a, like a heartfelt conversation, or like the next day when someone's like, I talked to him, like we talked it out, I'm like, fuck, that sounds like an awful night.
Yeah. What are you on, a reality show? And yes, you could have been talking about the reality show instead.
Right. Right. but literally like at dinner parties, I feel like it's all documentaries and podcasts.
Yeah.
Which I get.
I do too. It's interesting.
It is. It's very interesting.
It's the human experience in extreme circumstances.
It so is.
Yeah.
But like literally the line, I heard it on a pod, like, I was listening to this podcast the other day. It's like, yeah, started so many dinner conversations.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. And they're making it into a movie. Have you seen the movie yet?
Oh yeah. Speaking of, hey, rest in peace, OJ Simpson. He had a good run.
Literally.
On the field, driving the
Bronco.
But he, one thought that I was having today when I was walking her was like, how, because I mean, he killed those two people. Like,
right.
How sociopathic you have to be to murder two people,
right?
One of which was your ex-wife, mm-hmm. and then get on a cross-country flight, like, an hour and a half later, like, you just murdered somebody and you got to go deal with like airport security.
That's unfathomable. I'd be a
wreck.
Unfathomable.
First of all,
you're not OJ. You're Phil.
But even if I accidentally killed someone, I'd cancel the flight. But for him to,
at the very least, I would cancel the flight.
For him to just murder them and then just be like, all right, I'm gonna go get picked up to go to the airport on a red eye.
Listen, he spent the next 30 years of his life saying, I'm gonna find the killer. Like, he obviously did not have a good sense of self.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I mean, that guy. I rewatched that documentary because it's so good. But
Made in America,
it's so good.
It's so good.
And I went to bed just like, oh God, it's just so like, it's so sad. Like this, it's the sad, because it's like, man,
it's tragic.
It didn't have to be like that.
Nope.
It just didn't.
The other thing about that was like, I remember I was in the third grade and they came over the intercom and they were like, OJ Simpson has been found not guilty. And I was like, we're in the middle of social studies. What is, why that was like such a huge, it's interesting in the 90s, like how we all became interested in not just the personal lives, but like the exploitative aspect of it. You know, it was like Bill Clinton, OJ Simpson, Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee, like all of that stuff. We were like, we deserve to know about this. We deserve to have a say in it. And then Instagram happened.
Seriously. And
you know,
it just like ruined the, I didn't ruin the fun, but it was, I always say that like, I liked celebrities more when you didn't know
me too
what they were doing.
Like, me too.
Why does Anthony Hopkins have an Instagram page?
Right.
And whoever's running it needs to stop.
And any person can send them a DM.
Yeah,
not that they're going to respond, but it makes you feel like closer to that person. A buddy of mine was actually saying to me that he was talking about this whole thing and how we like see celebrity and everything. And he was like, when he was younger, he was in the airport and he saw the mother from Growing Pains.
Ooh.
And all these people were like going up to her and taking pictures and chatting.
Wait, I'm trying
with
to think, is that something Kern?
I don't, oh, it might be actually.
Something Kern.
Blonde haired lady. Yeah. And he was like, you know, nobody stayed away from her. And then he was like, another time I was in the airport. I don't know why I was seeing so many celebrities.
Yeah,
in the airport,
seriously.
But he saw Kevin Costner and he was like, everyone was kind of like side eyeing and seeing him, but nobody would go close to him.
Was this during Yellowstone?
No, this was like back in the day. This was like in the 90s.
Got it. So like Waterworld.
So Waterworld. Yeah. Right. And he was like, I think that's because people watch TV shows like Growing Pains when they're in bed in their pajamas and they're like,
right.
They're like in a more intimate setting. So they feel closer or more approachable. They think these people are more approachable because they're on TV and they're watching them in the comfort of their own home.
Right.
Whereas they have to go to the movie theater in like this big black box with other people and they're looking at Kevin Costner's face on a huge screen.
It's intimidating.
And it's intimidating and it changes the way that you like consume these celebrities. And now it's like there are very few celebrities who people wouldn't approach, I feel like. You know what I mean? Because so many of them are on Instagram and on TikTok and
you see talking them every day,
talking to their fans. It's like, why are you going to watch a late night talk show when you can just watch what they have to say about stuff on your phone?
But I just, it's so true. I just loved the days where the only time you ever saw them was in the movie, on Letterman, and at the awards.
Totally.
That was it. You never saw them. And then when you did see them, it was like, holy shit, wait, is that, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was at the Peninsula last night, and Stephen A. Smith walked in. I just looked up, I was like,
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, you see that fucking guy like a zillion times a day on Twitter, on Instagram, on ESPN. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yep. You can like a tweet, he says. Like,
yes, yeah, yeah.
You know seriously. What I mean? Like,
you
stuff
can literally
like that.
Add
it's like,
him.
Yeah, you can add him. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, I was watching this movie, and I don't think she's seen my DM, but I was watching this movie, the Open House. It's this horror movie on Netflix. It's not great.
Okay.
But I just wanted to see what it was all about. And I was like, man, who is this actress that plays the mom? She was like really pretty. And then I just looked her up on Instagram and she had like only 1,000 followers. Cause I mean, if you look them up and they have like 5 million followers, it's like, all right,
no point.
My DM's not going to get through.
Right. But 1,000, you got a shot.
I had a puncher's chance. Is it a puncher's chance or a fighter's chance?
Either one.
So I slid and I was just like, hey, like, saw this movie. You were great. Like, I'm a fan. I don't think she's seen
That's
it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
She'll respond.
Right, let's see if she's seen it.
Oh, this would be great.
Because one time I sent Lindsay Vonn a DM. I was just like, hey, because my friend literally, he just said, he's like, yo, I saw Lindsay Vonn at Sushi Hama in Venice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. He's like, yeah, you should DM her. I'm like, isn't she like huge? He's like, yeah, just try it. I'm like, is that a thing? Can you do that? And
I've
just did it. And of course I didn't have a fucking shot, but like,
no, but
he made it seem like it was, I was a shoot.
I've heard other actors like hitting up.
She hasn't seen the DM, by
okay.
the way.
Okay. All right. So you're safe. You're safe. You just don't want to see that it's red. And she's just like,
it
you're
hurts.
A fan. Screw you.
Yeah. But then it's like, who's got more followers, hon?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do a, collaboration? And, I mean, it is so, you know, I went to a bar on Saturday night and I saw this like table of dudes and like they were looking over at me and I was like, what the hell is going on? They ended up asking for a picture with me.
Hey, there you go.
They're like,
what was the thing? Was it Instagram or
one of them was like, dude, the Vince Vaughn is so great. Like, we got to get a picture. And I was like, why?
That's kind of cool though.
It's kind of cool. But I also was kind of like, are they making fun of me? Like, you know what I mean? Like I couldn't like say, yeah, you know what? The stuff I'm doing on social media is really affecting people in a wonderful way. And they want to say thanks in this way.
I mean, that's like being a star on social media is like being Nicholson in the fucking 70s. Kind of. It kind of is. I mean, that's how old were they?
They were probably in their 20s, mid late 20s.
Then you took the picture? That'd be great if you denied the picture.
Of course I took the picture.
Did you see it on there? Do you know where it was?
No, I have no idea. They didn't tag me or anything. But I was like, but they were like, you know, dabbing me up and being like, bro, so funny, so funny. And I was
what
like,
is
oh,
dabbing
thanks,
up?
Man. Like, I think it's like doing the bro. It's like the slap and then into a hug.
Oh, that's I always call that a bro hug.
I think it's both. I think so. I may be using dap wrong.
No, I mean, I think you are using it right, actually.
Yeah, the bro hug is a dap.
But I never knew if it was like a when you bring it in and then you slap on their back because I was like, is it a dap? Oh. Like a dap? Like a I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
I'm way behind on slang. I still say awesome.
I do too. Awesome will never go away.
Well, when did awesome come around?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Maybe. Well, because I feel like kids today, their slang is like they call things mid.
Yeah.
But that's not slang. You're just taking something like mid or middle.
Yeah.
And you're just shortening
it. Yes.
Back in the day, it was like rad and awesome.
Yeah.
The crazy or cool.
Like made up.
They were made up words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I feel like kids are taking, or like, what's another one?
I heard a new one that's like based on Fortnite, and they're like, oh, I'm going to drop in, but it doesn't mean like stop by. It means like get into it.
I'm going to drop in. No, like they are like simp.
Yeah.
Like simp, which I would imagine is like simpleton or like, I don't know. Some like,
no, but simp means that you're like, you are like obsessed with some.
Yeah.
Someone.
Yeah. Like you have a crush on a girl and like she definitely doesn't like you back, but
yeah.
You like keep going.
Yeah.
You pick her up from the airport. even though you're not getting anything.
Yeah, totally.
But no, I feel like it's almost like they're taking words that already exist and either shortening them or just like rejiggering them.
What's no cap? I know it means like no BS. I'm not.
But see, again, no cap. Like those are two words that existed.
True.
Awesome. Doesn't like who came up with awesome and like when?
I don't know, because, well, you could be awestruck.
You can, yeah.
Awesome. I don't know.
I just keep it because I don't know. I when I hear adults say mid, I'm like,
well, like radical. Radical was around.
Yeah,
like, that's a radical thought.
I think that was like the 60s.
Einstein is a radical thinker, and then we were just like, that wave was fucking radical.
Yeah, they shortened it.
Yeah,
but rad. I never heard rad until I moved out here, and I guess that was like an 80s LA Cali thing.
Did you ever say like mint?
No, what is that? Oh, like mint condition? Sweet.
No, it was like, oh, that's friggin' mint.
I don't think so.
Oh, we said that. There was also, I also remember like, even in like high school when kids started using words that were like the new cool thing, like there was a group of kids in my high school that would say ill. Ill.
Right, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Ill.
Yeah.
And I did not like it.
I never said ill.
I said it once and I was like, this doesn't sound natural. This is not one of my words.
No, I sound way unnatural if I ever use slang.
Yeah.
Unless it's slang that I've made up myself.
Sure.
Which I mean, like Brandon and I and like a lot of our friends had like a full lexicon of words we made up.
My brother does that. I know some people who do that and they can just come up with words that like you'll start using. I wish I had that ability.
Yeah, no, we just, I had these cousins and they used to say beast a lot. And I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love like beast. Like it's great.
Like I'm beasting out.
No, just like if you like something, you're like, this is beast.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, it's great. I remember when I was staying with them and they were saying, I'm like, what is that? That's so fucking, I love, that's just, it's a great word.
All you have to do one time is like be eating a sandwich and be like, that was beast. And someone will be like, I'm going to use that.
No, it's great. I was like hooked on it.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's
and
a good
then, one. But then I decided to make it teased.
Teased.
So I say teased all the time.
Ooh, teased is good too.
It's very good. And it's then I found out some like, it's on like Urban Dictionary. Like apparently it's a word that they use, some like kids in Connecticut say. I'm like, fuck that.
No.
I invented this word in 2014.
Yeah.
Venice Beach. don't take it from me.
Teased Connecticut is mine. Kids.
No, so teased, but like that's mine. Like I created it. I'm not like piggybacking on mid.
No.
And simp.
No.
I just like I can't do it.
No. No. You're doing everything right.
But at the same time, like sometimes when you like if you talk a certain way or like that was things that I came up with, like my New York friends and my LA friends. Sometimes when you go see college friends and you forget which crew you're with.
Yeah.
What, the slang slips out. They're like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
I'm
like,
oh shit, I forgot where I was.
Oh, sorry. I haven't changed.
Do you keep in touch a lot with like high school and college friends, or have you kind of lost touch a little bit?
I've kind of lost touch with some high school friends, but like, we stay in touch enough, you know? And then college friends, I stay in, like my three roommates from like basically junior and senior year, we're like still on a text chain together and we talk a bunch. And last year we did a golf trip together, which was great. And we've planned one for this year. So like, that's the kind of stuff you have to do too. Like you just need to like touch base in real life.
It's good to
life,
touch base. Yeah.
You
I'm
know,
bad, I'm bad at touching base.
Me too. I'm the worst. I'm the worst.
Well, reaching out is different. I feel like touching base and reaching out, they're different.
They are.
Reaching out is like, reaching out always feels like if someone's going through something, you want to reach out.
Hey man, thinking of you.
Yeah. Touch base.
Touch base is like, here's an Instagram post I thought was funny.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know, however, the sharing an Instagram post is a nice way to reconnect. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just
for sure.
Sending someone something and being like, isn't this funny? Is a nice way to,
it's a nice way to touch
to
base.
To be like, we haven't lost touch because we're touching base.
It's like a Seinfeld bit.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
But no, like Instagram has made it easier to touch base. Just like, I mean, I feel like I just keep in touch with people through the comments.
Yeah.
Just liking a comment. That's not really touching base.
That's one step away from touching base.
It's just, and it's not reaching out. But no, reaching out, it's like, it feels so dramatic.
It does. You didn't have a phone call after that? Jeez.
Yeah, man. No, it's tough.
It's too much.
It's really tough. I was on a date last night and this girl's she was nice. I haven't been on a date in about a month and a half, but she like her like it had been like 2 hours in and like her phone rang and it was like her sister and it was at like 9 o'clock at night and she's like, do you mind if I take this? I'm like, no. When someone calls you after nine, something bad happened.
Yeah.
Which is that's the worst.
Oh my god.
When your phone rings at like 10:30, it's like, Oh shit. My night's about to suck.
Now, were you thinking to yourself, I hope this sister doesn't ruin our date? Or were you like,
it was winding down.
Okay.
We were on the rooftop of the peninsula, which is kind of my favorite place to go on a date.
Really?
Love the peninsula.
Oh.
Love it.
I'm going to do that.
You got to take, you should take Annalise there.
I will.
It's so nice and relaxing.
Oh, okay.
But then I heard because it's Beverly Hills and because it's the hotel that Harvey Weinstein was
correct
doing the dirty at, it's got like there's a vibe there. I think there's one night where I think a lot of prostitutes are in there, like high end.
I thought you were going to say it went the other direction and it's like a nice, like accessible, like it's for everybody type vibe, but no, it's not. They're leaning into the sexuality.
Someone said on like I think it's Wednesday or Thursday. Like if you go in there, you're going to see a bunch of like professionals in there.
How do you tell? You got to dress pretty well to be in the peninsula, right? No dress code?
You don't have to. I mean, Stephen A. Smith was wearing all white jeans and a white jean jacket.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I was like,
bringing back like a Thriller look there.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he looked sharp.
I bet.
But then there were a few, like, cause I told it to this girl and she looked around. She's like, actually that group of women that just walked in and went to a back room. I was like, yeah, I think probably.
Wow.
But you need to remember where you are. I mean, it's like, it's the heart of Beverly Hills. It's a swanky hotel.
The peninsula is like, we don't care. We've already got the reputation. We might as well lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. No, but like outside of that, it's so nice. It is such a nice place.
Oh, okay.
And the bar is so comfortable. Like there's like really nice couches.
Mm.
It's a very comfortable bar.
Okay.
Never crowded. It's not like going to like McSwiggins or something.
Yeah.
Like it's not like there's like never a crowd there.
Yeah.
That you can always get a seat.
That's another thing that you start to really like in your late 30s. Like you walk into a bar and if nobody's there, you're like, all right.
Oh, it's heaven.
It used to be like, well, we got to go somewhere else. This place is not popping.
That was me when I went to Cancun.
Yeah.
I hated all the like the tequila boom and
oh my god,
whatever fucking Oyster Jacks or I don't even know what the bars are called.
Senior Frogs.
Yeah. I hated it. And then there was one night where we went to this bar that just had this patio and no one was on it. I'm like, I'm over there.
Yeah.
I'm going there. And that's where we went. It was the most fun night I had.
I bet.
In my week in Cancun.
You can hear yourself talk. You can actually have a conversation about a podcast or a documentary.
Yeah, seriously. I don't even know what we talked about. But there weren't a lot of like, we talked it out.
There weren't a lot of those. Yeah. You're in Cancun.
I just, I can't with the like, when someone wants to like have a heart to heart at a party.
No.
It's like, I didn't come out for this.
It's not the place for it.
Unless you really need to talk to me about something. But it's like, let's get lunch.
Yeah, let's get lunch or reach out.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm here at a party to touch a bunch of bases.
Tons.
Tons
I'm
of
here
bases.
To round the bases.
I'm here to round several bases and go home.
Ooh, air ball.
Yikes.
I'll never not laugh when the basketball gets stuck between the backboard and the rim. I'll never not laugh at that.
And one of the guys has to go up and flick it out. The refs are like, hey guys, a little help over here.
But this basketball, because the older I get, the more into the pro I am versus the college. Mm. This basketball, though, it literally, April, it's like a 2.5 month run where basketball's on every single night.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, it's real like, fuck.
Yeah. What do I do now?
Dog days of summer.
I feel that way during football season. But again, it was funny. Like, Annalise was like, wait, so what nights are football on? And I was like, just Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays now.
right, in December,
it's Saturdays.
Well, I mean, college football now is sometimes on a fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
It's really weird.
It's just taken over. It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, like, I think they're Thursday night football, I mean, look, I love it because I love the NFL, but it was nice when it was just the two. And like Monday Night Football in the 90s, remember how like special it felt?
Oh, it was an event.
Because it was on ABC.
Yep.
And it was like, it's like Mondays sucked when you were a kid because school sucked.
Totally. It was like a mini Super Bowl every week.
It felt so important.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that. It doesn't feel important anymore. I think because it's on cable.
I agree.
When it's on ABC, it's like, ooh.
Well, wait a second.
It just had a Jerry Maguire. They nailed how Monday Night Football felt.
Yes, yes.
They God. Like that movie nailed a lot, but it nailed. I was like, God, I missed that 90s Monday Night Football.
I do too. And Jerry Maguire, such a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Everybody talks about how if it came out now, people would just like roast it.
Why?
I mean, I think just like as great as a line is as You Complete Me is, because it's so perfect. Like he hears it early on, and then like it's his journey to just like coming to how he feels about her. It's like it's great, but like I just feel like people would be like, "You complete me, really."
Even if they had never heard it before, because the thing is like now we've heard it. You know what I mean? But like when you first heard it, it's the same thing as like when Sally Field got her Oscar and she was like, "You like me, you really like me."
Yep.
Like now we think of that and we cringe. But
oh
like
my God.
I have heard that when she did it, it was like a really nice moment. Like that she was like, You are really telling me that I've done a great job. I'm so grateful for that. And now we're like, "You like me, you really like me."
I mean, that would be on like SNL the next week.
100% 100%
There's another one. I watched Casablanca recently and like here's looking at you, kid, which I don't even really know what it means.
Yeah.
It's very vague.
Yeah, it's very vague.
I feel like even if that was in they've always kind of been there, those like kind of cheesy lines. But like, I don't know. Fuck it. If they work, they work.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Cruise delivering it with such force.
Oh, my God.
You complete me.
That movie's great.
Yeah.
It really, really
is
great.
It's great.
But what was I going to say? But now, like, that's the thing. I feel like movies now don't have those. Like, what's the last great movie line?
It's a really good point.
It's now just, like, really, like, scary shit or really fucked up shit or really, like, depressing shit.
If I have to think of the last line that, like...
That, like, is, like, you quote or you think about it, you, like, say...
And it's, like, something from, like, Frank the Tank in old school.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, it's something like that. It's probably a comedy. It might be old school.
Oh, The Hangover.
The Hangover.
Like when he's saying that Rain Man is a retard.
Yeah.
That movie is so fucking funny. But when it came out, I didn't like it because they showed so many great moments in the trailer.
You know what? I did the best thing ever because like my roommate and I at the time saw one commercial for it and it was before it opened and we were like, "We got to see that movie." And then like, I didn't pay attention to it at all. And it was just a random day. And we were like, "Yo, let's go see that movie, The Hangover." And it was also cool because I was like, I don't know Ed Helms. Like the guy that I knew the most was like Justin Bartha or whatever his name is. Like he's the one I recognized the most in that movie.
Cause what was he from?
Dude, I have no idea. Like Dating Paris Hilton or something like that. I don't know. Something. And then we saw it and I was like, you know, I didn't know Galifianakis. So I didn't know, like, I think I had seen him do stand up actually in Boston and I thought he was hilarious. And then to see his like sense of humor on the screen like that was so great.
And even Bradley Cooper, the only thing you knew him from was like Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. And he was in very small part.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, he crushed it.
But that's the thing. I didn't know who Ed Helms was either. Mm-hmm. And, I can't think of the last like big studio comedy. Did you see Anyone But You?
No.
It's actually not that bad.
Oh, really?
It's not that bad. I mean, it's not great and it's like corny, but it feels like as far as like scope wise, it feels like those big rom-coms from the early to mid.
Really?
When I watched it, I'm like, like big set piece rom-com.
Oh, okay.
I was like, there we go. I haven't seen that in a while, even though it's like, it's not a great movie. It's like they found that formula again. They kind of found they got the flavor back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I saw something like that I felt the same way about, that I was like, this just brings me back to like those rom-coms that I liked when we were younger. that were still like really funny, but also like had those moments, you know?
Yeah, well, like remember Fool's Gold with Matthew McConaughey yes. and Kate Hudson, where yes. there's like literally a plane crash.
Dude, that movie, I rewatched that movie like maybe 6 or 7 years ago because it was like on TV. It is the most ridiculous thing
right, I'm I've sure.
ever seen. There's like a part where like Matthew McConaughey like blows up his jet ski and goes flying off and then like lands on the bad guy on a boat or something. It's just so ridiculous.
And so is anyone but you. I think that's why I actually kind of, I didn't mind it. Cause I was like, oh yeah, like there we go.
It felt a little like it was in on the joke almost. Like it knew that it was being ridiculous.
I mean, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't take itself seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was, that Sydney Sweeney, she's really having a moment.
Sure is.
She's everywhere.
Has been for a minute now.
Oh, right. I mean, I just kind of, because I don't watch Euphoria.
Euphoria is...
It's good.
It's...
Is that a good...
It's good, but it is so dark and, oh, yeah, and right, uncomfortable. Right,
right. I watched the pilot and I was uncomfortable.
It is so uncomfortable to the point where like I started watching it and then like Annalisa was like, well, maybe I'll watch it with you. And I was like, I can't watch this with you. I need, I can only right. watch this by myself because of the way it... it makes me feel.
You know? I felt that way watching the pilot. So I, because there was like, wasn't there one of the characters in like a motel with
yes.
some older dude? I'm like, yes. this is fucking, where's Seinfeld?
It was really dark.
Where's Cheers?
It's really dark. And it like makes you sit in those like uncomfortable scenes for a long time.
Yeah. TV shows just weren't like, you didn't get that on like Spencer for Hire.
No, no.
Or like Airwolf.
No.
TV really got so dark.
It got so dark.
Like especially it's about
Mad
like,
Men and Breaking Bad like scratched the surface.
And I mean, even I don't even know if those like again, I've only seen one episode of Euphoria, but I like even the Idol, like the dark shit on the Idol in Euphoria, I don't even think is I think it's darker than Breaking Bad.
100%.
Breaking Bad is like being on a roller coaster.
100%.
Or and same with The Sopranos, and it's funny to watch The Sopranos now because you like you can oddly relate to it. Just like the human experience, the yeah. older you get, you're like, I don't look at this show as like, fuck yeah, mafia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I used to, I'm like, yeah. wow, I kind of like feel this a little bit more.
Oh, interesting.
But now like shows like Euphoria and like The Idol, it's just like, ugh, this yeah. fucking generation's fucking gross.
I know. But like, and I wonder like, even like, did you watch Saltburn?
Yeah, I fucking hated it.
Oh my God. I was just like, no, we don't need this. We don't need any of this. Right.
No, it's just shock. Everything's like shock value now.
It's shock value. And now and like
vibe.
Barry Keoghan is the biggest star right now.
I mean, he's a good actor.
He is. He is. But I was like watching that movie because number one, I was like this, if you take it for what it is on like the story, it's like pretty empty.
Well, it's like Talented Mr. Ripley-ish.
It's like Talented Mr. Ripley-ish, but Talented Mr. Ripley was way more interesting.
It's like Untalented Mr. Ripley.
It's Untalented Mr. Ripley. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was watching, I'm like, all right, yeah, okay, I guess this is fine. But then I fell asleep and I woke up to him walking through the house naked, listening to Murder on the Dance Floor. I'm like, wait, what the fuck did I miss?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I went back and like rewatched. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Those scenes that were just like so disgusting. I'm like,
right.
This is so unrealistic and frankly stupid. I think mm-hmm. this is stupid. I think these scenes are stupid
because it just doesn't feel like it's just like forced and it's like they're just a shock and
yes,
just to get you talking.
And then both anyone but you yeah. and Saltburn got success because things went viral based yeah, on those.
Right.
Like Saltburn was like watching Saltburn with my parents and then like showing the parents' reactions at the gross yeah, scenes.
Right, right.
And then Anyone But You was like the song at the end, like Unwritten by yeah, Natasha yeah, Bedingfield. Yeah. Like people started singing. And it's like, that's what got the word of mouth yeah. for these movies so that people actually watch them. Cause Saltburn wasn't in the running for any awards or anything. And
no, and they probably thought they would be.
Yeah.
You know, and see, that's the tricky thing about movies now is that, I mean, there's always going to be a movie audience that watches movies for movies, but like the younger generation, and it's not a bad thing. Cause if it gets them watching them, it gets them watching.
Right.
But they're watching them to like, bring people like, I don't even know if they are really watching them. They're doing that thing, like watching it with our parents.
Yeah.
Pan the camera over.
They're on their phones.
They're doing it for themselves. For yeah. their, no, it's unfortunate. But yeah. like, hey, if they're watching it,
I guess. I guess.
If they're order, if they're ordering it.
I guess I know that I'm going to watch Anyone But You tonight.
No, like it's not that bad. The movie really hangs its hat on how like attractive the two leads are.
Obviously.
They really, and they want to make you know that they're attractive people.
That's what I always thought about the movie Troy.
I never saw Troy. With Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. We like saw it in the theater. We were probably like in the eighth grade or something. And I was like, okay, we get it. Brad Pitt is handsome enough. There are so many smoldering close-ups of Brad Pitt.
Right.
Just
right.
Like on the sea looking toward Troy.
And
like,
were people even that good looking back then?
No way. I don't think so. You know how bad they smelled?
Right, and horrible diets.
Drinking
that like shitty wine. That
wasn't even wine. That was,
I don't even know what it was.
I don't know what it was. If we drank it today, we would be sick for weeks. You want to talk about a bad hangover?
That'd be funny to like have people from like ancient Rome come back and like watch that and be like, whoa, what that this is
great. This is what you think happened?
Because what's his name in that?
He's Achilles.
Oh, okay, got it.
He's Achilles, yeah.
Actually, I've been to Troy.
Really?
It's just a pile of rocks in Turkey. Yeah, I went there because I studied Latin all throughout high school. So I was like, oh, if I'm living with my parents were living in Turkey.
Yeah.
We took a day trip down to Troy. It was like maybe a 3-hour drive from Istanbul. And it's like pretty underwhelming.
You're like, you were fighting over this piece of shit.
Right, yeah. It's literally just rocks.
Yeah.
It's just a pile of rocks.
Yeah. I mean, like, when we think about it, Helen of Troy was probably pretty unattractive.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you get pictures of her? Helen of Troy.
What they depicted her to look like?
What, because is she in Troy?
She was played by Diana Kruger, or whatever. What's her name?
She was pretty. AI.
Well, that was the whole thing. She was supposedly the most beautiful woman in the world.
Okay. I mean,
and she was in Troy of all places.
But it's just like, that's not a flex after seeing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is AI or not. I don't know what's, I don't know.
Well, I don't think they have a real picture of Helen of Troy.
Yeah, no, they definitely don't. But yeah, like, wait, let me see if I can find a picture of Troy. Troy ruins.
Imagine getting cast as that. Like, you're playing Helen of Troy. You're the most beautiful woman in the world.
It's good for the ego. That's Troy. That's it.
That's it.
I don't even know if it's the size of a football field. That's it.
Wait, that's how small it is, really?
It's pretty tiny, yeah.
That's ridiculous. The horse they used to sneak in there was bigger than Troy itself.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Seriously. And they had such a fucking shitty recreation of that horse. I was just like, oh, this stinks. I mean, no, it was fun, but like, awesome. Yeah,
come on. Guys, there are better places in the world to fight over.
Like, just like that, this well just meant so much to you. You had to get over that well.
How much water does that well even give? Come on.
That would suck to the days where you get your, that's how you got your water.
Oh, man.
There's not good filtration on those wells. And you just have some dirty bucket that you're putting down there.
And you only get a bucket at a time.
That's what I think people out that live in the Joshua Tree, they have wells.
Do they?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
I think some of them have wells, and it actually makes, because as nice as some of the houses are on the Joshua Tree, or like Pipes Canyon, it's just like, yeah, but that water situation, you got to save. I don't know how sweet it really is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're bringing wells back out there.
They're bringing wells back. Oh, my God.
I thought that was Michael Jackson. That girl?
I think she's a basketball player.
Oh, is she?
I think so.
So we engaged. Congrats.
Engaged, thank you.
How's that feel?
Feels good.
Yeah.
It's a real moment. It's a real moment.
I can't even imagine.
Well, I kind of like thought to myself, listen, everybody does it. Like, she knows it's coming at some point. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. Buddy, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I walked up and I was...
over Christmas, right?
Over Christmas on December 23rd. And I we were going to go out to dinner to the place that we like started dating at. very like chill, you know, it was just going to be the two of us. I went over and brought like a non-alcoholic bottle of champagne. She doesn't drink. Non-alcoholic bottle of champagne to the restaurant. So they had it all set up for me. They knew what was happening. And, I like set up the camera to take a video of it.
Okay.
And, walked to like my spot and I was like, can you come up here for a second? She was like sitting on the couch.
What was it, like an old restaurant?
It's Black Market Liquor.
Wait, where is that?
It's right on Ventura, in Laurel, in right near Laurel Canyon.
Okay, got it.
And so I like stood up and she like came and met me and we're in our house at this point. And I like held her hands and I was like, I think you're the most. And I just started weeping. I wept through the whole thing.
I bet it's hard to keep like a straight face.
I really could not believe the emotions that were racing through my body. It was that feeling of like, you know, when you get like hot and tingly because some emotional thing is happening.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was it. And I was like, oh my God, this is.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was really like, and then we were both like cry, yell, laughing. You know,
right?
It was pretty wonderful.
Well, I always wonder because I mean I've never been really in a long relationship.
Yeah,
so I'm always curious. Like they know it's like are you? That's the thing. That's why you really want to be like kind. You want to catch them off guard, even though they know it's coming.
Well,
like,
she had no clue.
Okay, got it.
Like I thought, you know, she might think like within the next year something will happen, but she had no idea it was happening.
Got it.
In this moment.
Got it.
So she was totally caught off guard. Like even as I was saying like these nice things to her, and she was like. You know, I was like, and I love you. And she was like, I love you too. Like, what is happening? And then I started to get down and she was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? Yeah, are you doing this right now?
Right.
You know? And I like, through my tears, I was like, I know.
Wait, and were there a lot of people there? Or just you
two? No. So it was just me and her at our house first. And so then we did that. We like called our parents and siblings. And then we walked over to the restaurant.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you were saying that you did it at the restaurant.
No. I just got everything set up at the restaurant first. And then we walked over there and they were all like, congratulations.
Got it.
It was really nice.
Yeah, no, that, but oh, so going back to what I was going to say is like, I always wonder like how far into... Because you guys have been together 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
How far into the relationship do you start talking about, like, so we're going to get married, right?
I mean, like...
Because, like, I feel like you... Do you ask them, do you want to marry? Like, it's almost like, do you sort of propose the proposal?
For us, like, it was pretty early on, we were like, all right, well, we're going to live with each other. Mm-hmm. But we said, like, all right, well, let's say it was, like, April or something. We were like, all right, well, maybe even earlier in the year, but we were like... At the end of next year, we'll move in together.
Right.
And so, like, we planned on that, and, like, everything kept going really well and everything. Mm-hmm. So that happened. And then when we moved in together, we were kind of saying, like, I don't really care about getting married. Like, we live together.
Right,
like,
right.
We want to be with each other forever.
Why do
we have to spend all this money and do all this stuff? And so then it got to the point where it was like, well... If we're going to be together forever, like we should probably just get married.
Right. Right.
You know? And then I think she was expecting a very like nothing proposal or ring or anything, but I like did my research. I talked to her sisters. I like found the perfect ring.
Did you talk to her dad?
I did.
Okay.
We were like visiting with her family and she was coming later. And so like, I was like so nervous for that too. He like went out to get food and like came back and needed help bringing in. And they were like, can someone help him bring in the food? And I was like, I'll help. And
I went
out into the garage and I was like, I also just wanted to say, you know, that I love Annalisa so much. Mm-hmm. And, I am planning on asking her to marry me and I would love
you. He just drops the groceries.
I was like, I'd love your blessing. And he was like, well, obviously, no. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, and then, like, yeah, gave me a hug, and he was like, welcome to the family.
That's a better way to do it, because instead of this, like, maybe going out to dinner, and it's, like, fucking kind of nerve-wracking.
It's funny, because my brother did it, like, the exact not the exact opposite way of me, but, like, he was having like job interviews or something. So he was staying with his now wife's parents, and he like asked them out to dinner, and he brought them out to dinner. He bought dinner for them, and he was like, "Well, I guess you're wondering why I brought you here, and I wanted to ask her,"
right,
which was you know, very classy, nice thing to do. But yeah, he was wicked nervous about that. And then when they got engaged, like he set it up so that like all of their friends were going to see them and like meet them after, mm-hmm, and all that kind of, and like their parents were in town and everything. Got it. So he did like the big version of it, and I'm doing a much smaller.
That well, okay. So you're saying, so if I ever do it, I can't do it over email.
You can't do it over email.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You can fire a manager or an agent over email. You can't ask for a blessing or ask to get engaged.
I can't slide into the DM.
You can't just send an email to your girlfriend and say, "Do you want to marry me?"
Yeah. Right. Right.
I'll give you the ring if you say yes.
Oh, Molly, that's what the real pastime of the show is, her ripping farts.
Yeah, she just let one go.
Oh yeah. But that's no, I bet it is. But so, yeah, so that's kind of the thing I was asking is like, if you talk about marriage with somebody that you're living with, let's say you've been together for 3 years, you live together, and you're like talking about marriage, it's just like kind of like, well, do I even need to propose? Like, we literally just agreed to get married.
But, and that's kind of how I felt too. Like, I felt like, well, when I actually like give her the ring, it's not going to be as big of a deal. It's just as big of a deal.
I get that.
I feel like very few people are proposing if they're not sure if they're getting a yes or a no.
Yeah. Very like, few. If they're, yeah.
In movies and stuff, it's like, will she say yes? Like when people are like, did she say yes? Now it's like more of like a joke. It's like, of course she said yes.
Well, Love Is Blind.
Thought about the, well, Love Is Blind. That's true.
That show.
True. Oh my God. Oh my God.
But no, I feel like that is a big moment that you're dead and it hits you.
Yeah, because
like, oh my God,
you'll talk about it, but it's not like you're talking about it every night. And it's not like the next day you're going to propose. It's like, yeah, you kind of say, what do you, oh my God, that commercial was just about a guy proposing.
Oh, was it?
But like, yeah, you kind of like test the waters, and it's kind of for yourself too, to be like, do I want to get married? Do you want to get married? I mean, like, and we just got to the point where it's like, yeah, we should just be married.
And then, but then it's still a shock and it's still a moment.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I mean, you see that ring.
She was amazed.
Ring.
She was very impressed.
It was a good ring.
It was a good ring.
And what is that? How many weeks, months salary is it? It's like,
well,
3 months salary.
If it was my 3 months salary, it would have been a much smaller ring. I think it's supposed to be 3 months salary.
Okay. Got it.
There's that classic line in The Office where Steve Carell's like proposes and she's like, oh my God. And he's like, well, you know what they say? 3 years salary.
Oh, but, oh yeah. Right.
$300,000 ring.
This movie that I wrote last year, and it's like being cast right now. I think it's going to get made this summer.
Anything in it for me?
It went through a rewrite. Maybe.
All right. You got to throw it out there, right?
But yeah, for sure. But the movie starts with two people getting engaged.
Oh yeah.
And like at a vineyard.
Oh wow.
And then they get brutally murdered.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
So, and I was like, and now it's like becoming a reality like this, like it's going to be filming in New Zealand.
Whoa.
And I was like, wow, that scene's really gonna, and it's like my version was super fucking violent. And the version that's been rewritten is the same thing. But then they like took it a step further. I'm like, all right, this is gonna really blow some minds. There's gonna be a lot of panning over to your mom and your dad watching it on TikTok.
Oh, wow, I love that.
So yeah, it'll be. It's just a vicious, vicious, vicious kill.
Whoa,
it's just taking it like the most special moment and just like shitting on it.
Oh my God.
So it should be fun. Spoiler alert.
Wow, yeah, spoiler alert for sure.
But no, I mean, I get it. Because when was the last time you cried before that?
I don't know.
Yes, yeah, seriously, especially for men.
The and only
she was
times
crying, I'm sure.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, you know, you're like shaky. It's crazy.
I'm sure. Well, no, and I mean, it's because you're being vulnerable.
That's right. You're being very vulnerable.
And were you sweating?
I don't think I was sweating, but I was like incredibly nervous the whole day.
Yeah, I bet.
I was just like, I just wanted to get to tonight so I can just do it. You know?
Yeah. No, see, that's the thing. It's not even like nerves. Everyone gets nervous for things, but it's the fucking anticipation.
It's the anticipation. It's hell. Crazy.
It really is. It's I crazy. Hate anticipation.
Me too. Me too.
It's the worst.
Oh God.
It's like most of the time, it's never as like good or it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. And
no, it never is.
It's going to be, but it's still, it doesn't make anticipation any easier.
No, it's like your body getting ready for fight or flight, you know?
Right, yeah. And oftentimes for something that's just so fucking basic.
Totally. It's so true. It's so true. Like the anxiety that we feel every day is just never as bad. Like when whatever you go through, it's just never as bad as you think it's going
to
be.
Well, that's why I moved this show to evenings. Cause when I was doing it in the mornings, I was like, I just got up. Yeah. I just took her for a walk. I just want to get my day started. I was like, I got to sit and talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
I mean, it was fine, but it's like, I don't like my mornings being like distracted.
It's also good that like you spend the day, things happen, thoughts come into your head and then you can talk about it at night.
For sure. I don't know, there's mornings. I don't like interruptions to my mornings.
Yeah, totally.
I just don't.
Also, instead of watching basketball, you're watching the morning news and stuff.
I don't turn my TV on until like 5-ish.
Oh, that's good.
4 or 5. But unless it's March Madness, I mean, come on.
What are you going to do?
But that
starts at 9 in the morning.
So they had Good Day LA.
Yeah.
And now they have Good Night LA.
Really?
Which is literally like the same exact thing. But Good Day LA, do you guys ever watch that?
Probably some of it. Why?
It's the dumbest. They are so dumb on that show.
In what way?
Oh, so we were watching it one time. This was like years ago. And I think we were visiting here and we were at a hotel. Yeah. We had meetings. And I was like, I put it on because I used to love actually watching it when I lived out here in 2002. But they were interviewing this woman and she was in like Pennsylvania. And like in like rural Pennsylvania. And they were like, this area that you're in is so beautiful. Are you in the, I don't think they knew where she was. They were like, is this in the British countryside? And she was like, no, it's Pennsylvania. It's like, you do realize there's parts of America that don't look like fucking Beverly Hills.
And oh my God. Oh my God.
It was just
God.
Like such a, I almost wonder like, cause I'm sure Good Day LA is on, I think it's on from like, 7 to 9 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There had to have been a Good Day LA was definitely on like while 9/11 was going on. I can't even imagine what their reactions were.
Where is this taking place again?
This isn't a movie, is it?
Can't be America, right? Is that Troy?
The things that are on there. It's so just like, I mean, look, I get it. Morning shows are, it's not like the height of journalism.
You know, you got to fill time, man. They're just looking to fill time.
But this one is like, cause the Today Show is pretty light, but then the Today Show gets into some like meaty stories sometimes. Yeah. Like they were all about the OJ shit back in the day.
Yeah.
But Good Day LA, it's just like, so it's just about like smoothies.
It's so funny. And obviously like, this is where my head goes to, but it's like the next job I have, if I shouldn't even hire a PR person. It should just be like, I mean, they're not doing anything on Good Day LA. I'll just call them up.
Honestly, it's a no brainer.
Yeah.
Cause I think a lot of people watch it, but it's just the women are just. It's just so, it's so LA.
Yeah.
Like really, really. It's called Good Day LA. I mean, they're not, it's not fucking Walter Cronkite.
We have John Wilson here on the new show. We're going to be looking at your spring outfits for under $15. Be like, oh God, why am I
That's
here?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. Oh man, that's it. Ooh, I'm going to get into some shout outs here.
All right.
I have them written down. So a lot of good movies are coming out. I really want to see Civil War.
That was the first one I was going to say.
I bet it'll be good.
I do too.
And I want to see The First Omen. And have you seen Love Lies Bleeding?
No, but I want to see that
too. That's supposed to be a doozy.
I just saw Dune 2.
Oh, did you like it?
I did.
I didn't see Dune 1.
I like Dune 1 too.
What is, are these movies, are people considering, I mean, I know they're based on books, right?
Yeah.
And it was a David Lynch movie.
Yes.
But are people looking at, like, is there like a Star Wars element to them?
It feels very...
Like, are there battle scenes?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And big spaceships and worms that come out of the sand.
Got it.
But like huge, they're not worms, you know, they're monsters.
They're not like Tremors?
They're kind of like Tremors.
Oh, okay, got
they're
it.
They're kind of like Tremors. Bigger than Tremors.
So, and so they're good.
The worms?
Yeah, no, the movie.
Oh, no, the worms are bad.
Okay.
I like them.
Director's so good.
Yes, he's amazing. And also, like, Annalisa doesn't like sci-fi stuff at all, and she was totally into the Dune movies.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah,
I recommend.
Oh, Molly, you're killing me. All right, let's get these shout-outs here.
Molly.
Let's see what we got here. Let's pull up the old song here. Pull it up here. There we go.
Here we go.
All right. I do not have them written down per usual. Let's see. Let's just go to the last meme I made. All right. Here we go. Hey, shout out Maddie Mizzou.
Shout out.
Hey, shout out Garita Supreme.
Shout out.
Shout out Jeff Dreyer.
Shout out.
Shout out to Zachary.
Shout out.
Hey, shout out Frankly Norman.
Shout out.
And shout out DC Stiver 07.
Shout out,
guys. Thanks for supporting the page. Thanks for listening if you are listening.
Yeah.
Let's let this ride a little bit.
Your memes are killing me lately, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
So good.
I've pulled back on the last like year because I've just been focusing mostly on work.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of like this because I used to post like three memes a day sometimes.
Whoa.
Which I think is way too much.
It's a lot.
So now I probably do like once a week. I kind of like, there's this one page.
I think if you go like once, twice a week, that's pretty good.
I think that's good. I think, but the thing is when I post, sometimes I find the more you post, your page grows quicker.
Yes, I think that's right.
So I think because my page is sort of plateaued a little bit, which is fine. I don't care. But like I've noticed the less I post, the slower it builds.
Yeah.
I feel like if you really want to build it, you got to be hammering it.
It's true. Like I find that my page will grow if I'm posting at least twice a week.
Yeah. Okay.
But like I can't really do more than that.
No. Well, that's the thing, especially when I'm working, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
And I'm only thinking of ideas for that. But I've also made a commitment because like, so there was that Tiger Woods meme where he was shaking the...
Yes, the tree.
And back like 2 years ago, I would have been like, two or three years ago, I would have been like, oh, I've got to figure out something for that. Now I just do starter packs. That's my niche, I'm riding it.
I love the starter packs, but I was just looking back because I was like, what one really made me laugh out loud? And it was the Interstellar Matthew McConaughey looking at himself, time traveling back to 2002, watching myself go out in public and wearing bootcut jeans.
Well, that meme format is fucking fantastic.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. Because
that movie's so bad. And he's so it's just you know what I didn't like about that movie. I don't like space movies.
Yeah,
but I was like, this is not the McConaughey I want.
Yeah,
it just was like it was not my McConaughey.
He was good in it though.
He is good in it. Yeah, I mean he's usually great in everything post ever since the McConaughey started.
Yeah,
he's been like
Dallas Buyers Club and
True Detective.
Yeah,
but that one I don't know I can't even remember anything about that movie, but then when I saw that meme,
so
it's
good.
Fucking perfect.
I mean the thing about Nolan's movies now is just like there's just too much to try to understand here.
Oh, like Oppenheimer.
Come on, man.
Did you like Oppenheimer?
I didn't even see Oppenheimer.
I recently watched it here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where you're supposed to see it. Yeah. He didn't intend it for me to watch it in my apartment, but I missed out on it when it was in theaters. But like when I'm watching it, it is good, but I feel like I would have liked it more if I had seen it like The Grove.
I bet.
Because I was just kind of like, fuck, I should have gone to see this movie. But like even watching it, as soon as they test the bomb and it's a success, I'm like, there's still another fucking hour left.
So long.
What else do they need? The bomb worked.
It's so long.
I lost interest very, very quickly.
That's
in the movie.
Crazy.
The movie moves really quickly for a 3-hour movie.
Really?
It's like really quick. Like the scenes are like super short, which I was like, okay, that's cool. But I was just like, I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like I know the bomb got dropped.
I know. That's kind of how I felt about seeing the movie.
I don't care.
I was like, I don't care.
Yeah. So that was the thing. I'm watching this movie just like, all right, like the acting's great.
Sure.
The filmmaking is incredible.
Mm.
But it, and like the music's good and there's some tense moments, but like, I'm like, yeah, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The acting is really good though. And Robert Downey Jr. is really good in it because it's like, it's good to see him playing. Cause I don't know, like it's good to see him playing like an older character.
Yeah.
Cause like he's an older guy.
Yeah, he is.
And sometimes when you see him out in public, he's dressed like a fucking like a Miami club kid.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, how old are you?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So when seeing him in this movie, I'm like, there's Downey Jr. There we go.
There he is. He's
like mature. Yes. And he's really, really good in it. I get why the whole thing won Oscars, even though I didn't entirely love it.
Crazy about it. Yeah.
Like I get it. I got it. The Holdover still should have won. But
I agree. It was my favorite movie this year.
So good.
Yeah. So good.
I'm trying to think what else I've seen. I'm trying to think what Camp Good Boy Wreck of the Week is. I mean, Camp Good Boy Wreck of the Week is definitely, well, Brandon's movie Snow Valley. Have you watched that?
No. Yet? What's it on?
It's on everything. Really? It's on Amazon.
Snow Valley.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Oh man.
It's a fun horror movie, shot really well. Yeah, Snow Valley.
Oh hell yes.
Yeah, check it out.
I will.
What have I seen? That's for everybody listening to watch Snow Valley. It's the new Roadhouse I fucking hated.
Didn't watch it yet.
I hated it. Because you know what? I went back and watched the original Roadhouse.
Yes.
And like, it's so, that movie actually gets a bad rep, I think, because everyone's just like, cheesy 80s movie. It's actually like better than you kind of remember.
Okay. My buddy is like a huge fan of that movie, and like you can watch it and it's so enjoyable to watch it with him because he'll be like, watch this guy in the back left. Watch how ridiculous this
is. Right.
And it's so funny. I actually shot a movie last year with Kathleen Wilhote.
Who is that?
She plays like the nice girl in the bar sings and stuff. And she was like, that set was so insane.
In like what kind of way?
Like drugs booze. And she was like, they were like so, everyone was so out of it. She was like, I think I was only supposed to work like 2 weeks and I was there for 7 weeks. Something like that. Yeah.
Well, it's just it's a great, great movie. A great movie. And I went back and rewatched it after watching the Gyllenhaal one. And the Gyllenhaal one, like he's a UFC fighter
right.
and he like killed somebody in the ring, which, you know, you don't really know why he did that. But they were trying to make a movie. The movie was basically made for like Instagram. Like that dude, Bob Menery, isn't it? That sports comedian.
Yeah.
He's like, plays like one of like the tough guys. I'm like, why would you cast that dude as like one of the toughs?
That makes no sense. Make him one of the announcers.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, at the UFC fight.
It was, and then like Conor McGregor is the bad guy, which he actually wasn't terrible because he was kind of like menacing.
Okay.
But it was just blending the UFC. It was just weird. Like this former UFC guy is now a bouncer. Like in the original one, like that he's a cooler. That's what he does.
Right.
And he's about to like meet his match.
Yes.
But like that's what he does. There's like consistency and he goes
into
this bar.
It makes sense.
This one, it's like he's a UFC fighter who becomes a bouncer. And like the first one is all about like the bar.
Yeah.
This one has like, he is one scene. He has like one fight in the bar and all of a sudden he's like the enemy to this bad guy. Like in the other one, it's like a slow burn. Like,
so it's not about him saving the bar at all.
Barely.
Yeah.
Like the movie wasn't that there wasn't about the bar nearly enough as like the original one.
Yeah. I mean,
so I was just like this, it just fucking sucks. But like, and it's got this like gloss to it. But I feel like the movie was made for Instagram followers.
Yeah, it sounds right.
I really do. When I saw Bob Menery, I'm like, that's just horrible casting.
Yeah.
Why is he in that?
Does anybody know what Bob Menery looks like?
I mean, I only do because I followed him. But again, if you're on Instagram, you do.
Yeah, true.
Good point. I didn't love the new, I didn't love it. But then what did I love? Again, like anyone but you, it's not that bad. I mean, it's not good. But I didn't hate it as much as I was. There was something else. What was it?
Monkey Man.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've heard. This is what you've seen.
I'm going through my letterbox here.
Okay.
The Greatest Night in Pop is great.
Yes, the documentary.
Very good about the We Are the World.
Yeah,
and Imaginary is not good.
Night what one
Swim.
Is that?
That's
Imaginary is the horror movie.
It's not good, and Night Swim is not good. But Night Swim is a great premise that I wish I had had.
What is the premise? Because the like, I feel like the
it's a haunted pool. It's dumb, but it actually, like, if I had that idea, I'd be so excited.
That's
it's
fun.
So stupid. Yeah, because like, it's like, okay, we've seen the haunted house.
Yeah,
it's like, what else could be haunted? Like, what about a pool?
Yeah, and that's like hilarious. Wyatt Russell
randomly just plays this like former baseball player. It's really weird. And the only reason they get the house is because he's like, I want to rehab in the pool.
This is making me really want to see it.
No, I mean, it's worth watching because, again, like, I think that the premise could have been, the movie could have been way better. But it was just like, it's so random that it's like that Timberlake movie where he plays the baseball scout.
Yeah, Trouble with the Curve.
I'm like, dude, baseball scouts don't look like Justin Timberlake.
No, they don't.
Look like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
They don't look like Justin Timberlake, but and Wyatt Russell didn't really look like a former baseball player. It was so weird. So weird.
Oh my God.
Let's get this house, man, so I can rehab. It's like, you can just go to physical therapy.
Yeah, totally. You've made money. You're buying a house to get in the pool. Physical therapy is cents on the dollar there, pal.
But honestly, like, that's what happens sometimes. Like, I'll think of something in a script that I think is, like, you know, really clever. And it's almost like the, like, sometimes, and this isn't all of them, but sometimes you'll get notes. And, like, when I watch a movie like that, it's like, I know I get the note. I get why they did that, because somehow these execs and producers think that that's, like, a genius and clean way. And it's so stupid and random.
It's so stupid.
It's like, you know what? If that's what you want, cool, go for it. But
wait. So he moves into the house, right?
With his family, yeah.
Why don't they just have them living at the house already? Because they need to find out that the pool is haunted.
Yeah, of course.
They can't just, like, they're like, well, we live here, but I can't do rehab because the pool's haunted.
But it's, I don't know why I thought that premise was just kind of, like, original. I'm like, oh yeah, a haunted pool. Somebody, like, it's got, like, a history. Somebody, like, died on, like, the grounds and the pool's haunted.
Yeah, you want, I mean, I agree. Like, you want the person who comes up with that idea to really, like, come through with the movie.
Well, I guess it was a short, and the short was great.
Oh.
And I think they should have kept it as a short. I don't think it translated to, it was like when the Entourage movie came out.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that movie and being like, wait, the episode should be over. It's like 25 minutes. Totally. We're like 2 hours in.
Totally.
And I'm still with this fucking goon squad.
Totally. It is so funny. It's like, there's so many scary movies that it's like, once you realize there's something off with the pool, don't get in it anymore.
Well, I think the whole thing is that Wyatt Russell, they were kind of doing like a, what's the movie where, like Lost. How they're on the island and it starts to, like, heal the John Locke character.
Yeah.
I think that the pool, the evil energy in the pool starts to heal him. And he starts to kind of get, like, his swagger back. And he's like, we're not leaving. He loves the pool.
That's it. He loves the pool. That's an interesting way, like, instead of, like, Amityville Horror or, like, The Shining, like, the father is, like, into the hauntedness.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So
he loves the pool. Just the pool. And it's, you know, it's a statement on how, like, you know, pools bring families together. It's
so funny.
Those Blumhouse, they have great premises, but very rarely is the movie as good as the premise.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Imaginary was pretty stupid, but yeah, greatest night in pop.
Yeah.
That movie was really
good.
Is that
the wreck of the week?
I think so, maybe. Well, Snow Valley is.
Snow Valley, of course.
But The Greatest Night in Pop, because the fact that they had all that footage is nuts.
So I've only seen the very beginning of it. I haven't gotten all the way through it. So don't ruin it. But what happens? Do they sing the song?
It's like the fact that it's almost like they knew that that documentary was going to get made someday. Like, they literally recorded the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
They have the whole thing filmed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And to, like, watch, like, someone like Huey Lewis.
I knew, like, he had to step in for, like,
I forget who he stepped in for. But, like, watching these singers, like work out, like get and getting it up to where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was awesome.
That's cool.
I mean, that song is, when then you go back and listen to the song, it's like, man, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
So that's my wreck of the week.
All right. I like that.
And that's it. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
And stay safe out there, everybody. And I think I'm gonna be mindful of how long I can keep that good in the beginning.
Yeah.
See what record I can break.
I wonder how many seconds we got on this one.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you maybe next week. maybe in 3 weeks. I've been really keeping it mysterious when I'm going to drop these pods. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you soon.